Welcome to Awakening Matters with your host, Cynthia Sloan. Wherever you are and however you are, may you feel supported. May you feel a light within you illuminating and becoming stronger, not because you need it, but because it is you. And I say that to you not in the hopes that you'll come to know that you are light, but in the conscious awareness in the work that I do. By the way, for those who don't know me, my name is Cynthia Sloan. I have a website online and I do readings and healings and videos, as well as many other things I'm working on right now. And I'm in such gratitude to be able to be. And so when I speak of the light within you, I speak of it as you, but without needing your validation. What am I mean? The light within you doesn't need your validation. It knows itself. It knows itself because it travels throughout the cells, throughout the pathways of communication regarding health, well-being, balance, etc. It has a language, and that light is there. Whether you define it as light, whether you define it as no light and just cell communication, when I look at the aura and the internal organs and all the different forms, I see them communicating not only in movement, but in light. And of course, the aura is an expanded version of that light, and everything is communicating with itself. Everything I share here today and have the incredible opportunity to do so is because I have lived it and experienced it. I'll never share anything that I have not experienced myself. So with that said, I began communicating with nature, animals, before I could even talk. So when I was very, very young and unable to talk, clearly, I was young, we hope, but I remember so clearly being able to move my eyes and my head, even as an infant, and look at even the objects around me, and they had a consciousness. I mean, of course, at the time, I didn't use the word consciousness, but familiarity, and I could experience a plant in the living room talking to a plant on the table. And I could hear that. So I could see it and I could hear it. So I began communicating very naturally, internally, participating in the language. And not externally, by the way. I wasn't making sounds in order to try and insert myself in a conversation. I felt that the conversation was happening, of course, now I know outside of sound, that it was happening in the very environment that we live in that supports not only telepathic, etheric, and all kinds of different forms of communication, but the lineage of consciousness and communication itself was present before I arrived, and right upon being able to look around was a recognition, maybe from a past life, maybe from holding on into the physical form, the ability of connectivity to all that is. But nonetheless, I could talk and communicate with what was going on around me. Oddly enough, as I grew older, it confused me how human beings rarely spoke what their truth was, what they were feeling. In fact, they spoke the opposite. And nature was and continues to be present and authentic. You know, it's interesting because growing up and in different circles, et cetera, I hear a lot about different arenas, if you will, about how there are parts of humanity that feel that if they, meaning the human aspect, isn't in pain or suffering when it's cutting down a tree or when it is doing something with an animal, etc. If the human being doesn't feel it, then it doesn't exist. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. That could not be farther from the truth. So, you know, there are other sentient beings here, and I believe the earth, nature, animals, sky, etc., aren't here for humanity's disposal. They're trying to survive, have babies, and have an experience of the earth plane. They're not here for humanity to dispose of. And what I find interesting about that, not that fact, but the fact that the animal kingdom and nature has come to fear humanity, and long before now, but fear humanity nonetheless, and not trust humanity. And it's interesting because we're in a state of consciousness in humanity that fear has become the feeling that's waking up humanity. Fear has become the commonality that is shaking it awake. When did disconnection to our souls become so silenced that violence is the thing that awakes humanity? So Mother Nature and the animal kingdom, if there is, well, I'll say for the animal kingdom, well, and also for Mother Nature, if there is violence involved, it is a rebalancing or a survival aspect. And it's certainly, the precedent is based on need. Like I said, survival. But when did the mind override the heart of humanity? Where, let's say, terror leads to a desperate search for sanity. Where did hurting others become the language of awakening in humanity? When did emotional pain become the blind power deafening the screams of children? When and why? When did apathy for kindness, innocence, and the beauty of discovery become a threat? The collective consciousness to attack one human being with hate becomes the poison you breathe and you swallow and you pay it forward. How do I know this? Because the family that I grew up in a very secretive way, behind the scenes, was pure poison. And on the front line, so to speak, stepping out from behind the scenes was complete falsehood. So, like I said, when I was born, I was and had the ability to communicate with watching and then participating in nature, again, even as a toddler, outside or what have you, but knew that I was a part of something, knew that I was a part of something that dwelled from a place of love. Why? Because observation changes the behavior of particles. Let me repeat that. Observation changes the behavior of particles. Oh my God, what does she mean now? This is what I mean. That as a baby and a toddler, I observed love in between nature and love in between the connectivity and the consciousness of the soul in the environment that is sustained in order for the animal kingdom and nature to even have an experience. I did not witness, now this isn't everybody's experience, I hope not, but I did not witness as a toddler and a child, that humanity around me and beyond me was having the same experience as nature. So the connectivity as nature and the language of all that is and the supportive environment of, hey, you're here to have an experience, not to wipe it out. You're here to have an experience, but you're here to have an experience that makes room for and includes an experience that not just other humans are able to have, but that the animal kingdom and nature are absolutely 150,000% meant to be here. Why do I say that? Because they are here. Because it is here. Because the presence of the balance, everything from the trees to the science of different forms of trees in one place versus another, different forms of oxygen, different moods, etc. From, and when I say mood, I mean from, I'll say seasons instead, from summer to winter. I mean, it's all in balance. Without, by the way, humanity's participation, it continues, even with humanity's participation, to be able to create some resemblance of balance. So long before humanity got here, earth plane and animal kingdom and nature doing just fine. Thank you very much. So when I say observation changes the behavior of particles, I mean, if you're looking at something with love, or if you're looking at something with interest, if you are fully present with whatever you're looking at, that which you are looking at is going to respond. It's going to grow if it's a plant. It's going to thrive if it's a relationship. It's going to create if it's your mental body that you're focused on. Same thing in the other direction. If you're looking at it with hate or fear, it's going to mirror to you and embody the decay. It's not going to mirror thriving. And so I say that to you because become the observer of your own behavior and then witness your physical particles respond. So if you need to heal, become the observer of your behavior and watch. So when I say behavior, I'm not talking about go work out, create some motion. No, I'm talking about behavior. How do you talk to yourself? Your behavior, not only with yourself, but others. Watch that behavior. Be a process in that behavior. And your particles, the observation, changes behavior of your inner particles. If you want to heal, you can heal yourself. I'm not just saying that because I have, but I have witnessed many others as clients heal themselves as well. And so I say that to you not as a hope, but as a very solid, already proven just by nature itself as a fact, as a fact. And so, you know, what's extraordinary to me is the concept that if the animal kingdom and nature were simply just here for humanity's pleasure, then it would just be sitting, waiting. It wouldn't be running, hiding, etc. It would be like, hey, you're going to cut me down, so I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to grow. I'm not going to change, meaning plants, tree, etc. I'm not even going to have an experience because I'm here for humanity, so what's the point? And then in regards to the animal kingdom, same thing. Why would the animal kingdom try and survive? Why would it try and thrive? Why are there animals in the animal kingdom that partner up for life if they were only here for humanity? They would be like, okay, I'm here, so I'm here when you want to come get me. So that's extreme, but nonetheless, there is a consciousness. There is a consciousness and an awareness that's going on in Mother Nature and the animal kingdom. And I say that you start becoming the observer of your own behavior, not only with yourself, but in the world. Because there is an extraordinary intelligence. Oh, my gosh, it far surpasses humanity's intelligence. Hate to break it to you, far surpasses humanity's intelligence. Why am I saying that? Well, because we're talking about an Earth, we're talking about a planet, we're talking about the placement of that planet being a ballast for other planets, we're talking about the organization and alignment of things in order for all other things to even be. And from that, the macro to the micro and back and forth, from every form you could possibly imagine, whether it's animal, insect, plant life, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on and on. Now, the only part that I see that's extraordinary intelligence is that all of it is alive and that it connects with humanity, that humanity is a part of it, a part of. And that's why humanity is maybe meant to be here, a contemplation you might have, that humanity's opportunity and the gift of being here is to witness the beauty and the magnificence of it, not to be like, I have to put my footprint on this in order to be able to prove to myself that I exist, or I have very low worth, so I need to take out an animal and their family so that I can prove that I am worthy or that I have power, etc. So you are awareness. You are awareness. So what do I mean by that? Your mental body? Sure, not really. I think the mental body is very busy. Maybe with some awareness, but the soul is the awareness. So you are an awareness in that you appeared in this world with food, your hair grows, your nails grow, you have sensations in your skin and in your body, and you have pleasure sensors, and you have sensors that go off to tell you you're not feeling well, and that, or that you need to be on alert, that you are fearful. Guess what? Guess what? Contemplate it. So does every single life form on this planet. You are no different. Animal life, insect life as well. Oh, and let me tell you, if there's a scientist or somebody out there that's going, no, they don't. They can't smell or see or whatever. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Because as a baby, before I could even talk, I was watching things outside in the yard, all kinds of forms, communicating, seeing, being, hearing, feeling. All of it does. Humanity does not hold the ability to have all of the senses, all of the animal kingdom, and Mother Nature herself has the same senses to fear, to love, to grow, to be sick, to be well. It's all the same. It's all the same, except one difference. All factors that have arrived here and that are here, nature, the animal kingdom, the insect world, and so on and so on, are here to have an experience and not to destroy it for another, unless it's survival. And so humanity is a little different in that capacity. However, the message is there is no separation. There is no separation. The separation is in the human mind, because maybe it can't conceive of the possibility that the very literal cellular makeup is exactly the same as the cellular makeup of that which is unknown to man. And so now I'm going to dive in and talk about sacredness in alignment to whatever you hold sacred, whatever it is, that there is a sacredness and a knowing that goes without words and without a voice in Mother Nature, in planetary alignment, as well as the animal kingdom, and of course, humanity. There is a sacred knowing that goes beyond and deeper, goes beyond what humanity at times can even put into words. And I will say that it is love-based. Why? Because it is such a deep sense of you exist here. What do I mean? I mean that there is such a deep, unending connection to the soul. Not that you know about that connection, and if you do, I celebrate that. But I'm talking about the body itself, the cellular consciousness, knows that it is connected at the deepest levels, a depth, literally, humanity is unable to understand it. That goes so deep. It's kind of like this. When you cut down a tree, the aura of that tree, so the light skeleton of that tree that was there continues to be there. I don't care if you put a house on top of that. That skeletal light aura of what was there remains there. Why? For humanity? No. To present and to be present for the consciousness that was there and had an impact in the world. So everything, of course, from oxygenation to clearing water to all kinds of things. I'm using trees as an example, grass, a flower, whatever you want to contemplate, has an impact and is here to, for a particular reason, and to have an impact. And so if it is removed, the presence, the soul signature is what I call it, of that presence remains. And by the way, can be seen by all, I'm using this as an example, but it is a very real one, by all of the tree beings around the world. So if there is a tree on the other side of the world, the space between that tree and the tree that is no longer is of no consequence. Why? Because the beings that I'm speaking about, the tree beings, are empaths. Not only the empaths, but they realize that space is an illusion. And so the capacity to see a tree's aura and know that it has been cut down is then grieved around the earth plane by all the other tree beings. Grieved, deeply grieved. And so there is always a connection to what we perceive. But when humanity believes that it doesn't matter that they're going to dump a bunch of trash in the ocean, and then whales can no longer breathe or get stuck in lines, crabbing lines, etc., that were not properly removed, that cry, I can still hear it, and it goes on through the centuries. And so I say to you that observe your behavior and change the particles, not only of your body first, your mind, and your emotional body. How do I mean? I mean that when negative thoughts arise in your mental body, observe how you respond. Some people walk around with their shoulders touching their ears, and they don't even realize it. And when they do, they shove their shoulders down, and 2 seconds later, their shoulders are back up. And that has to do with an unconscious relationship, not only with themselves and that aspect of stress, and of course, understandable at this time. However, what I'm offering you, if it resonates, if it doesn't, throw it out, but is the awareness to stay connected to the fact that you can make a difference. I've been talking a lot about things that are difficult, not only to say, but to hear. And so now I'm going to share with you, how can you make a difference? Because a lot of people feel, unfortunately, too many feel, well, I can't make a difference. I'm just one person. What am I supposed to do? You are the entire universe in a capsule of incredible skin that has senses and can literally relay to you what, from pleasure to pain, what is going on with your entire personal universe. Not to mention the inner highway that you have a connection to. So, can you do something? Absolutely. Do you have to be there, wherever there is that you want to focus on? Is it the ocean? Is it nature? Is it the animal kingdom? Is it humanity's consciousness? Do you have a connection to humanity's consciousness? You have a connection to all things. There is no separation. Here's how you begin to make a difference. First and foremost, don't bypass yourself. If you want to make a difference in a particular group, place, ancestry, whatever it is, start with the sacred in you. How do you know you're starting with the sacred in you? Because your dialogue becomes loving, appreciative, becomes thankful, grateful. So that's you talking to yourself. I thank my ancestry. I thank myself for holding the context of wisdom beyond limitation. I mean, whatever words you want to use, but start communicating with yourself in a way that takes you out of I can't do anything, I'm just one person, to I am everything that is. And therefore, when I talk to myself, I'm connecting with everything that is. So if I start talking to myself in a loving, supportive, compassionate way, not only does, I'll put it in this way, not only do the shoulders drop, but the body sends out messages. And it's not just a feel-good message, but it's the ability to heal Mother Nature, Mother Earth, the animal kingdom, by starting with humanity. You really want to remember and never forget that the magic, if you want to use that word, can't leave you when it is you. The light can't leave you when it is you. The wisdom can't leave you because you are that which you seek. You are the love that you seek. You are the light that you seek. You are the peace that you seek. And so, do you see the result of your actions immediately? Maybe not, maybe so. I've had both experiences. And so I say to you, begin communicating with yourself as though you are speaking to the entire universe and you have a microphone. And you know what I love about that? Is that sometimes not standing in front of people with a microphone, talking to them from your mind to their mind, so they can, if they want to, they can stop listening, you know, fast forward, cut you out of their conscious awareness. They start thinking of something else. When you communicate internally even if you go, I heard that I am connected to the universe, and that when I talk to myself, the universe can hear me. That means everything in the universe can hear me. And so I'm gonna go within, and you don't have to use words out loud. You can, but you can even use an inner voice and an inner dialogue. And what I love about that is you're talking to the source that dwells within you, that is you, the sacredness, and you are bypassing mental chatter. You're bypassing negativity or the person's ability to receive or the person's issues because they don't feel worthy or whatever their issues are. You're talking, when you talk from a soul level within you, you bypass the level that would block you. And so I think that would block you and also block others and their ability to receive. You bypass that. Because the soul and the wisdom of the heart, your intuition, your guidance, when you feel something really strong, when you know something within you and it brings you a sense of, I don't know why, but I have to do this. Or if you don't have that level of clarity, you just go, I'm going to try this. Two things to look for. If you are communicating with the universe, and especially in regards to a harmonious desire for, let's say, healing or connection or an offering of gratitude to Mother Nature, whatever it is, you will feel a sense of peace. You will feel a sense of peace. Now, it has to be authentic, because everything that I'm talking about, from Mother Nature to everything else I've mentioned, there's an authenticity there that if you are not being authentic, like if you're not really present in the moment, if you're just going, yeah, whatever, you're going to get a response in regards to peace at the level of, yeah, whatever. If you are fully present in that moment and you are having that inner dialogue, you're going to feel either in that moment or not too long after, you're going to feel a sense of peace, maybe even a sense of joy or a sense of, a lot of people are feeling a sense of dread right now, a sense of fear, a sense of many things in this present moment that we are in. And so to take a moment to take a break from that and feel a sense of peace or a sense of joy that is non-circumstantial. It's non-circumstantial. So it's not based on what the end result is. And that's the thing. If you think about your physical body and all of what it does for you and with you, it's doing it because that's its purpose. It's fulfilling its purpose. Mother Nature is fulfilling her purpose. So what is your purpose? And I would say, what is your spiritual or your sacred purpose? Because your mind knows what its purpose is. So I would say to you, what is your sacred purpose? And I said spiritual, but if you're not spiritual, that's okay. What is the purpose for you in regards to, and not just, oh, I have to get this job or I have to graduate from this class, etc. That's the mental purpose in alignment to the emotional purpose. I'm talking about in moments of stillness, moments of quiet. That's when you connect with the entire universe. And so try it. Make it your own. Use your own words and know that it will return to you. It will return to you. And so I specifically am talking about these subject matters because not only have I been getting a lot of calls, I would say 90% of the calls I'm getting, people are feeling desperate, but also as a reminder of who you truly are. like who questioning yourself, and I go back to observation changes behavior of particles. And so who asking yourself, who am I? Who do I want to be in this moment? Is a very empowering question, especially when you feel disempowered. And so asking yourself, getting to know yourself and asking yourself, who am I in this moment, is the key for you to reconnect. What do I mean reconnect? If your focus is external in any way regarding, let's say, a job, a goal, but if that goal is external, you want to go inward. You want to go inward. And I say that because I have seen, I have experienced myself miracles upon miracles. I'm going to tell you about one in a second. When there's chaos in your world, and all of a sudden you go from focusing on that external chaos, feeling it, and you're a part of it, to focusing in that moment of chaos, focusing internally, focusing on your soul language, focusing on your heart love, focusing on anything internal. I'm not necessarily meaning just focus on an organ. I mean, you can focus on an inner organ. Yeah, because those are sacred. But I'm talking about an inner sacred dialogue. And I'll tell you what happened with me in that regard. So many examples, but I'm going to choose this one. So the other day, I had a dog gate up in the hall, pretty tall one, made of metal, and it was definitely engaged on the wall. So having an experience with itself and the wall. So I'm walking down the hall, and I did not want to trip. And so I grabbed the gate, thinking that, of course, the gate is connected to the wall. It's not screwed into the wall, but it has that tightening engagement with the wall. And so I grabbed the wall is flat, so I'm like, there's nothing to grab. So I grabbed the gate, metal gate, and the gate begins to slide forward. It doesn't come off the wall. It just simply begins to slide forward towards the ground and at a pretty fast rate. And I'm like watching this, and now my whole body weight is on the gate, and it's falling forward, and it's not going to be a delicate, you know, landing. I can see that. And so in my mind, there was a moment of, okay, like aligning with, oh, this is happening, and it was all happening very fast. In that very moment, I went within. It slowed down. I so wish this had been recorded, meaning with a camera, but it wasn't. It slowed down the whole process, literally. I mean, I can only tell you how I experienced it. The dog gate started to slow down, and I went within prior to that, and I was like, I am a sacred being. The gate and I are one. And the floor and I are one. So having these dialogues, I mean, if I was not in my etheric and soul language and body when that started to happen, there's no way I could have had the time to have that dialogue, to have the dialogue of, my faith doesn't have to hit the ground and cause pain. I can have this inner dialogue. So the more I went within and took the attention off of, there wasn't panic, but let's say if there was panic, off of panic or, you know, concern or et cetera, it could have broken the gate, the wall, could have broken me. And so going within, I really had it within me to go, wow, look at this. The metal gate is slowing down and the nothing's happened to the wall and I'm able to not fall and get myself upright. By the way, when I did get myself upright, the fence just decided, or the gate decided, I'm in that direction anyway, I'll just go ahead and fall. And so then it fell. So I'm standing there and I'm like, wow, I just experienced two different realities at the same exact moment. The opportunity and possibility of just falling and everything breaking, including me, at the same time recognizing that unless I went within, I was going to experience what going without means. And I mean going without, meaning disconnecting from my inner world and believing that my external world is all there is. And so whatever's happening in my external world will be what validates me. And so I have to fall on this gate because that's the validation of this moment. No, I don't, and I didn't. And so there have been many other experiences where something's happening and I'm like, wait a second. That's what's happening on the external level. Let me go into my sacred inner dialogue and really have a moment. Who has a moment when they're falling? Like, wait a second. I have to make a call. I guess you could if you went into, well, I guess I called myself in that moment. But yeah, so I am not condoning by any means that you run and try and fall, of course not, and have an inner dialogue. It was kind of an organic thing that happened. In any case, you are so much more than you give yourself permission to realize and contemplate, and that's what, for me, the dialogue of tonight was. So I invite you to go to my website, CynthiaSloan.com, and I send you so much light because you are that. And I will always acknowledge, not only in my work, but in my dialogues with myself first and others, because I see it, that yes, we are human, but we are also a part of everything else that we see, from water to bone to nature to everything. So find yourself there. You are what you've been waiting for. So choose to make an impact on yourself first and pay attention. Okay, blessings. Bye for now.